Well, welcome back to the Collaboration Podcast, where we talk about the power of partnership to transform communities and cities through the gospel. We are a ministry of Tampa Bay for Christ, and the mission of our network is to mobilize and equip every Christ follower in Tampa Bay as a multiplying disciple maker, so that every man, woman, and child in our region has opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. I'm joined today with my co-host, Austin Wilson. And then we've got Len Harper and David Oates with us, and David Spiker will be getting on later. Three of my dearest friends within Tampa Bay for Christ. And so I'm thrilled to have them sharing with us our second priority, what Vandercell calls one of the five gates. We talked in last episode about the importance of worship and prayer, foundational to everything for reaching the city. And then this is really our what has brought us together, I would say, in some of those practical ways are prayer and fellowship. So the second priority, the second gate, is leader health and unity. So that's what we'll be getting into in this episode. But let's start with introductions. So Len, just share a little bit of your story, and then David, jump in and tell us about yourself.
All right. Well, Darren, good to see you and to hear you, Darren and Austin. And so I guess for me, it would have to go from the beginning of where I felt called to quit my banking job. My goal was just not to be poor. And so I figured banking's the place to go. And the Lord called me to be a pastor. So on January 1st, 1986, a cold January day in Maryland, I put all my stuff in a U-Haul, quit my banking job. My wife quit her nursing job. We left our new home and headed for Fort Worth, Texas to attend Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the first day of orientation, the dean of theology threw some statistics at us and said, first of all, less than 50% of you are even going to graduate from this seminary. And he said, of the 50% of you who are going to graduate, only 40% of you will actually become paid lead pastors. Of the 40% of you who do become lead paid pastors, only 10% of you will retire. And I'm like, wow. So then he told the story of where Jesus said, before a king goes out into battle, he counts his troops, see if he can win, or before a man builds a building. So right from the very beginning, they're like, you need to count the cost. I'm like, hey, man, I just left everything and arrived here. You could have told me that beforehand, but I was kind of already all in. I've observed it. I did. I saw less than 50% of the students that started with me who did graduate, and only 40% or whatever actually became lead pastors. And all the pastors I knew from seminary, none of them are pastors today. So I've actually seen what was told to me in January of 1986. So when I came to my current church, which was South Brandon Baptist Church, became South Brandon Worship Center, is now Overflow Church here in Brandon, Florida, I saw it. I came into a difficult situation. The pastor before me had committed an adultery, had an affair, kept it secret. It was found out. So the church already was like, you know, can I trust this guy? They were wondering about me. And then the worship pastor was the interim pastor for a year. He applied for the job. The search committee didn't think he should be. He wanted the job. So he was undermining me for a year. Then he ends up starting a church. And so I'm like, okay, we're not going to become another Baptist church. That's going to divide. So I said, we'll pay your salary for 6 months. I stood before the church and said, if any of you feel led to go with them, I bless you. I said, you can go to every member. I told the worship pastor, you can go to every member. You can recruit them. Because my thoughts were, listen, if their hearts aren't with me, it doesn't matter. So so we launched them. And that's kind of how it started. So I needed a spiritual father. I needed some help right from this. My first church as a lead pastor. And this was what I encountered. So I attended Brandon Ministerial Association. It was an ecumenical group of pastors from Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist. There really weren't any charismatics in this particular group. But then I went to a charismatic group because I was kind of both. I was swimming in both waters, evangelical and charismatic, Pentecostal. I was a part of both those. It was a Somebody Cares in Brandon. Eventually became a leader of both of those. And caring for pastors, it was difficult. I was going through my own difficulties, so just couldn't keep it up. So both those minister groups end up quitting. And so went about 10 years without anything in Brandon. So in 2018, after coming out of a period of compassion fatigue. I didn't quite reach burnout, but just really struggling with, wow, I'm 55. Am I going to make it 10 more years? Am I going to be a part of that 10% that retires? And so made some changes and started getting stronger. David Spiker, pastor of South Bay, was instrumental in helping me through those times through compassion fatigue. First, he identified it and really helped me get on track, beginning Sabbathing and resting, and then going through a ministry of restoration. So in 2018, I'd seen so many pastors come and go. It's been 26 years now I've been there. And I'm like, wow, who pastors the pastors? So I decided to start what I called Ministers Connection 2018, a safe place for lead pastors to be encouraged, supported, and prayed for. And then when I joined with David Oates, who had a very similar ministry, we added So That Revival Comes to Tampa Bay, kind of gave it purpose. So I just felt like if the pastors would get healthy, lead pastors would lead healthy churches. If lead pastors were healthy, they would lead healthy churches. I think a lot of our churches are unhealthy because they have unhealthy pastors. That's kind of how a quick story on how we got to where we are right now. And then you guys, I guess, heard about the ministry and asked me to become a part of Tampa Bay for Christ. So it's been a couple of years now. I appreciate you having me join the team. So that's kind of what I bring to the team. Restoration ministry, health for lead pastors.
That's great. And Lynn, you do such a great job at that. Really, you do. My name is David Oates. God has given me a vision for bringing pastors together that starts as soon as I got out of seminary. First church I was a part of out in California, I saw pastors coming together, and I saw things that were released when they decided to not focus on building a church, but truly reaching a city.
Yes.
And I saw the power that was released when people let secondary issues become secondary issues, and relationships and love bring the body of Christ together. And so we were the Church of Modesto at the time. God kind of rewired and kind of moved me across the United States, brought me here to Tampa, Florida. And I knew that he had placed this deep in my heart because I'd seen the power. You can actually even go Google the Modesto Miracle. We saw 30,000 people come to know Jesus Christ in 1 month. Wow. Period of time. And we believe that it was because of the unity that was taking place. And so I'm like, man, we need one another. So that's been in my heart. Tampa Bay for Christ, just the way that God's kind of pulled some of those things together. I'm a pastor in Apollo Beach, and I have a heart to see pastors allow their churches to be a part of the whole that God is doing in the region. But secondly, as you hanging out with Lynn and just being a part of walking with pastors are the least cared for group of people.
Yeah, who pastors the pastor, right?
No one pastors pastors. Yeah. And so the care and the need, and because of that, I think there's a lot of brokenness. And when things come off, the wheels come off, it not only hurts them and their families, but it actually devastates entire congregations. And Jesus doesn't want that. And so we need one another. And so that really is the heartbeat behind Tampa Bay for Christ and why I want to be a part of doing this together with all of you guys.
The joy.
That's great. Love the introductions. That's great. Give us a little feel for your families as well, guys. So just so everybody can, I know you're married, all these kids running around, grown, and go ahead, Len.
So yeah, so I've been married to Kimberly for 29 years, and we have 4 children. My oldest 3 are all married, and in fact, I have got my first grandchild is on the way,
yeah.
And I'm going to hold this little girl, Willow Ruth, in November. So I'm thrilled. That's kind of my story in my family.
Well, I already have 2. I have an Everly Marie Harper and a Rylan Jeffrey Harper, 2 grandchildren. So I'm excited about that. I have 4 sons. All my sons have graduated from college, and that's a big deal. because we were poor and we graduated from high school. That was a big achievement. You know, my mother was the only one to have any children. My grandfather had 23 brothers and sisters. So for us to even have a college degree, so they're all college educated. They all have their own homes, doing well. They love the Lord, serving their churches. And I have two grandchildren, so I'm excited. I'm a happy father, happy husband, married to a beautiful wife. 40 years, that's a miracle. Anybody live with me for 40 years, you know there's a God. All right, so we just celebrated our 40-year anniversary. My wife has been a nurse practitioner. Now she is a doctor, so she's a professor. She teaches nurses. She's making disciples of nurses. So that's where we are.
Love that. And David Spiker will be on later in this episode. But Len, give us a little teaser trailer for one of the reasons to connect with other pastors is your kids might find each other, right?
Well, actually, you know, David Spiker and I had been friends for about 10 years, and our churches were doing things together because, you know, we were collaborating churches. And my son my youngest son and his youngest daughter connected through a youth camp. And so they, you know, I said to my four sons, you know, I don't want you to date until college because, you know, you can't trust your heart with a teenage girl and you can't trust your hands with a teenage girl's bodies. Is this okay? You know, this is what I said to my boys. So they kind of liked each other, but really waited until college and began to get serious. And they graduated from college and got married, and they're in their own home, both launching their careers. My son is an engineer, and Sierra Spiker, now Harper. She's a Harper. She's doing well in her career as well. So we're excited for them. Yeah. So David Spiker and I, we're family now.
Yeah. Become family. So, yeah.
Which is how it should be. Right? We should be family.
That's great. And that's giving Austin, you know, a preview. One of the advantages of hanging out with old guys like us, as you see, okay, here's what becomes of your children. I've got three in college now, and two, Lord willing, will graduate next May. So yeah, we're feeling that. The uphill battle of getting them through college and all that, but yeah, it's great. Austin, just remind us of your kind of life situation, and then segue us into the topic here, Austin, with just like how you've seen the value of leader health and unity, the importance of relationship among pastors and leaders.
Yeah, I have seven kids, 14 and younger. And so I'm still in the throes of little kids stuff and the teenagers, but my girls are, praise God, they're following Jesus and doing well. But yeah, no, you know, I've been making disciples for the last really like 15 years intentionally. And you know, over those 15 years, in the beginning, I was a lot alone, just me, my wife, and Jesus, you know, and that was still amazing, you know, just following him, and we were young and didn't know any better, and I'm still young, but still don't know any better, but you know, I've just seen the importance of finding somebody else that's going through the same things or, you know, same stage of life / vision / heart ministry, and just learning from them. And I think the hardest part about that sometimes is we don't know where to go for that sometimes, especially when you're a leader. And so this is, you know, just what I've seen already just through the pastors here in Tampa Bay for Christ and you know, the minister's connection, getting pastors together is huge. And you know, just one other thing, I think everybody's all about making disciples. And that's, we should be, that's what Jesus says. But I've kind of added in a word lately, and that is, I want to make healthy disciples of Jesus, not just disciples of Jesus, you know, and that takes being a healthy disciple of Jesus. Healthy disciples of Jesus make other healthy disciples of Jesus. And unfortunately, sometimes we push people too fast to make disciples. Who you know, some healing does happen in the harvest, some healing happens when you help other people, but we have to be careful not to push people to produce without really knowing Jesus and and being able to get to health and get others to health. So that would be, yeah, I guess kind of where I'm at. And I'm so encouraged by the men on this call. And, you know, I just came down here to Tampa last August. So, I mean, it's been almost a year exactly. And super thankful to have you brothers. And yeah, I got some questions, but Darren, I'll let you go first.
Well, yeah, I mean, so Len and David, just kind of bring us into, Len, you already gave us the overview of Ministry Connection, a safe place, you know, for pastors, and but kind of walk us through some of the milestones of that ministry, because you had your early days when you needed spiritual father, you needed guidance, you needed peer support, and you got that in some ways. But just, yeah, kind of walk us through the story and the progression of, yeah, some of those milestones of what has become now Ministry Connection.
Well,
go ahead and start.
You know, for David, Otis, and myself, we were aware of each other, but had not really connected.
So we started two different ministries,
yeah, at the same, and we were finding some pastors were going to both and saying, "Hey, you guys just need to get together." And so it was COVID. COVID made us all stop everything. And so when I was thinking about relaunching Ministers Connection, I really felt like the Holy Spirit saying, "No, I want you to come under David Oates. Don't ask for any position. Just serve him." So I did. I went to Dave and I said, "Dave, I'm going to meet with the pastors anyway. I have a ministry of restoration of pastors. I meet with them here in my home, on my back porch, or my office, and take them through restoration, healing." And so I was going to keep doing that no matter what. I didn't really need a monthly meeting to do that. And so I was good with just coming under David and just supporting him. He was leading a ministry called Liberty Church Network at the time. And so David just kept asking me to go on these trips with him. And then finally said, "Hey, why don't we do this together?"
Yeah, no, I think it was beautiful to watch. You know, we had a group of probably, I don't know, 8-10 pastors apiece. And now God's bringing 40, and now there's mm-hmm. 7 of these ministers' connections all over the place. And Lynn, you're just doing such an incredible job of really modeling and multiplying, playing that in beautiful ways. I mean, the LCN connection, I'm friends with Jonathan Falwell, who's the new chancellor at Liberty University. And I was dropping my daughter up there for, she was finishing up school. And they said, "Hey, we have this thing called LCN. And the whole goal is just bringing pastors together." So that was kind of my impetus that started. But when I saw what you had done, and you've been here for 26 years, and the relationships that you had, the fathering, shepherding heart that you brought with my heart for really the multiplication and the
big
apostolic
vision.
Big vision aspect, God just kind of put lighter fluid, I think, together in regard to that. And that's just been really beautiful to see.
Yeah, I think that my vision was on individual trees or individual lead pastors and just helping them get healthy to lead a healthy church. And David's vision was, "Hey, what happens when we put all these trees together? We have a forest. Let's do something with this." And so I think that, you know, I think we're a good team.
That's been great. It's been amazing.
That's beautiful. So maybe just walk us through, if someone walked in, if a pastor walked into a Ministry Connection, what are they going to experience? Walk us through what that feels like.
All right. There are three. We actually have just a couple of the way that we do this is we start off by just doing a kind of an opening prayer. We just invite everybody in. We invite the Lord to come. We have some food that's out there. There's some time of fellowship. And from there, we actually cast a vision. We go over the vision that we've just been communicating, a safe place. Or we've changed it not from just lead pastors, but five full leaders.
Yeah.
So anybody who's kind of in ministry and has an apostolic.
Ephesians 4:11-12. There are five. They don't have to have. They don't have to be paid, but they are a difference maker in their church and in this region.
That's right. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Apest. You can hear these different aspects. A safe place for those to be encouraged, supported, and prayed for, so that revival comes to Tampa Bay. And so we just usually talk about one of those aspects. We highlight it. You're going to be encouraged if you come in. There's all these pastors, the grounded level at the foot of the cross, if you will. Then there's a teaching component.
Yeah, what we tell them is your minister's hat gets you in the door, but you got to take it off.
Right.
As soon as you come in. So there's no big churches, no little churches. There's only a big God and one church
right.
of Tampa Bay. The Holy Spirit in all of us.
And Len, you've done a really good job of this, because once you start pulling all these different ministries together, there's this desire inside of some to try to make their stuff known and really trying to keep it so that it is safe, that it's not, this is not a place where we're just going to spam you, if you will, with all kinds of marketing aspects of things taking place. That doesn't happen at all. There's a teaching component. And then from that teaching component, I think the most powerful aspect is we have ministers that are leaders, and everybody breaks up into small groups of prayer groups. And so, and they're designed to be kind of where you are. So if you are a lead pastor, you're just going to be with lead pastors. Mm-hmm. If you're church a support planners. Staff, you're a church planner. If you're a seasoned, you're going to be in a seasoned group. If you're brand new,
emerging pastors,
mm-hmm. all of those. And so that's been really powerful.
That's the nice word for old. I gotcha. I hear you. Yeah, right.
that's what we try to say. That's you're right. Seasoned, not you're old. Seasoned.
That's it. So that would be kind of an overview, I would say, of how we run it.
From 10 to 12, we have pretty segmented so that we honor your time. And I've never known anyone who hasn't come and said, "Wow, I'm glad I came. That really encouraged me, supported me, prayed for me, and really helped me see the bigger picture so that revival comes to Tampa Bay, to the one church of Tampa."
Amen.
Well, and you feed them, right? I mean, I know you guys started that Brandon one with some extra, like there was some magical bacon that was happening. I know you've downgraded that now. You're just like bagels and whatever.
But I really got so big. At one point, we had almost 50 people come. That's a lot of bacon.
That's a lot of budget.
I would drive an hour for that bacon. I mean, you might have thought it was for you, but that was some special bacon. But it is consistent. I mean, I host Minister Connection up north of Tampa. And like that, you can count on some of these things. That's some of what we've tried to do is like, let's share this model. Because I was doing it differently. I was leading a pastor's meeting that was moving around. The Minister Connection model, I think, is helpful. And that's part of why we're doing this podcast, is to share the story and share the ideas with other cities as they're getting organized. But I had learned a model from Louisville, Kentucky, where because Louisville's a metro of about 1 million in the total metro, you can go 20 minutes, one side to the other. And so in order to reach out to the guys on the west side or the south side, we would move it. And we would say, okay, you host. And like the core group was like 15 or 20 guys who would drive to any part of town. And by the time I got involved, they'd already been doing that for 20 years. And so I'm just coming along. I'm thrilled to have a group of pastors to pray with. But that was the model in Louisville. And I just reconnected with Tim Parrish. Over there, who's now leading there, they call it One City, One Church. And they're still doing that model. But I was telling him about this and he was like, "That's intriguing. We might try and set up that approach at his church, kind of central east side of Louisville, and then maybe try and do another one either on the south side or on the west side and try and structure." He was like, "I could see where having a consistent place where you do provide food." Cause again, like the way we did it in Louisville was meet from 12 to 1 at a church location and pray. And then the majority of those guys would go get lunch after. But that starts to be a long time to ask for. It's in the middle of the day. And some guys would just take off after the prayer time. But what I really appreciated about it is they were very protective of the prayer time. So the new guys, that would be the selling point. We'd be like, "We're going to pray from 12 to 1. We're going to pray. We'll do quick introductions if anybody's new." But pretty much like 12:03, 12:04. We're going to start praying together. And then at 1, that's our time. We'll go grab food. We'll fellowship and hang out. That was the model that was in my head. And I'm trying to, have meetings like that. But I shifted 2 years ago. So Austin, when he came in, he kind of experienced the Minister Connection model of having food and fellowship, a little orientation to the vision, some kind of a practical training component. And then 45 minutes to an hour of small groups and praying and sharing. And our little group that Austin and I do is smaller. We're 5, 6. I think our record ever was maybe 11. Where you guys have a bigger group in Brandon, but the structure works either way because you're breaking into smaller groups, and a lot of those stay consistent. And that's part of your ongoing, prayer and care. And yet, when guys like me come from farther away, you still throw us in, and we can still feel, cared for and a part of it. So. there's a special camaraderie there at that Brandon gathering. So yeah, appreciate that.
Well, we also have Pinellas and Sarasota. So I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, it's important that you recognize in Lakeland, we're even talking in Lakeland.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area, we've got a place that you don't have to drive an hour to be able to get connected once a month.
And tell us the story of Minister Connection for Women. So I know that's been going now for a year or two, right? Right, Len? Well, how did that develop? And
so what was happening was I was meeting with these lead pastors, and they were wanting me to begin to meet with their staff. And so I couldn't meet with all the lead pastor staff, so I had to be very selective. If I was in a relationship of a spiritual father, spiritual son relationship, where I'm really helping them with their church, with their families, then I would begin to meet with their staff. And so some of these churches had women on staff. And so I was taking them through restoration. And they were like, we see the transformation in our lead pastor. We see the difference you're making. We hear what he says about Minister's Connection. You know, what is there for us? Because, you know, there are some pastors that are complementarian and some are egalitarian.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're trying to keep the Minister's Connection men only, so that, you know, we're trying to be inclusive, not exclusive. So I said, oh, I'm sorry, ladies, but, you know, and they said, well, then start something for us. So my wife, Robin, who has led our restoration ministry at our church, along with a pastor, a lady pastor of an Assembly of God church here in the area, Arise Church. So they actually meet at Arise Church the first Wednesday of the month from 9 to 11. They have a little different vision because women have been kind of put on the sideline. And so for women's Minister's Connection for Women, their vision is that women would be empowered, celebrated, and encouraged so that revival comes to Tampa Bay. So when the women come, they feel empowered. Men, you know, we're already at the table. We already have our seats at the table. But women have not had their seats at the table. So first, they're being empowered, and they're also being celebrated while they're at the table. Hey, we're glad you're here. We when Mary sat at the feet with Jesus, I don't think Martha was the only one criticizing her. I think there were probably some of the disciples whispering, hey, what's Mary doing down here with the men? She should be up there serving. So I think women have heard this. So it's a place for women pastors, some in lead positions. Recently, a United Methodist Church lead pastor lady came. And then for pastor wives, because they are integral, right? We're one in the ministry. So can
I just jump in for a second? My wife has been in ministry with me for 27, 28 years now. We've been doing ministry, and she has consistently looked for a group of women that she can connect with. And that has been very, very difficult, because when you're inside the church, it's not always safe for the wives. Mm-hmm. And what Robin and Tina have created in regard to this, my wife comes back beaming, just going, I can't tell you how loved I feel, how encouraged I feel. She can find herself. And again, I think there are women who have got ministry positions that feel comfortable there, and they've got tables that are there, and they've got pastors' wives that are got tables that are there. So it really is, I just see that the Lord has gone before us in regard to that. I'm very grateful for it, for my wife's sake. That's special.
Well, Jesus definitely empowered women, and he celebrated them, and he sent them. So let's just do what Jesus did.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I love the progression and the premise here that, you know, Lennon, you're thinking, okay, healthy pastors are going to lead healthy churches. And the converse of that is absolutely true. Unhealthy pastors are not going to lead healthy church, for sure. But healthy pastors, that's not the only thing. Being healthy and close to the Lord is necessary, but it's not sufficient. There needs to be a training component. There needs to be a collaborative component. Healthy guys who are isolated, I mean, in a sense, they're really not quite healthy yet, right? I mean, they need that like bigger vision and being a part of something. So let's go to Austin for this one, because Austin and I this summer have been doing an experiment, really, that we've just stolen the idea from Jeff Vanderstelt for what he calls disciple making labs, innovation labs. But that's been a really beautiful time meeting with four other pastors in our part of town and just really talking about disciple making. So, I mean, Austin, talk about that part, because it's like, yes, health is a huge part of it. You got to be close with the Lord, walking with him. But also, like, having a vision for disciple making and really starting to embed that in the culture of your church is another piece of this. If we want revival in its fullest sense to come, you know, to our region. So, yeah. So talk a little bit about that and what we've been trying to do and how you've been trying to coach us in some of those things.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think I just like to start with Jesus. You know, like, as I look at Jesus and what he does with his disciples, I've just realized, like, man, you can't make disciples like Jesus does without being in the harvest with them, but also without doing life with them and just being with them all the time, right? And so, and you know, I love Luke 11, like, the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, Lord, teach us to pray. Here, he sent them out. He sent out the 12 in Luke 9, sent out the 72 in Luke 10. Luke 11, they're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And the reality is like, he had already taught them to pray by his example, by his modeling. They were wanting, you know, a textbook answer, kind of. But, you know, all through the first part of Luke, he's just getting away all the time. They're actually trying to go find him sometimes. And I think, you know, what we've been really discussing and talking about bringing pastors together is like, man, let's be the example to the church. And let's make sure that, you know, we're living the things that we want everyone else to be living as well. And so talking through, you know, what does that look like in everyday life as a pastor? You know, sometimes we're not taught to really, I mean, we're taught to, you know, preach sermons and lead a church and shepherd people. But what does it look like day in, day out, sharing the gospel, making disciples, having people in our lives, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, we brought these pastors together, and we actually, instead of, I kind of wanted to go through some lessons and some things, but we ended up really just talking a lot and just really fleshing out things that are going on in their lives, going on in our lives, but also just looking at the example of Jesus and then trying to be in the harvest together. We didn't always get everybody in the harvest there, but I think it, you know, it's so important for us to be real and to bring things down to the day-to-day life level. And so that's what we were trying to do really with these guys, is as we got together, let's talk through just basic, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to make disciples of Jesus? And how do we do that healthily, but also in a reproducible way, so that it's not just us leaders that can do it, but everybody can do it. And I think, you know, over the course of the summer, it's just been amazing to see some the hearts of these men that we've been working with. I feel like their hearts are just being almost revitalized. Like, there's some expectation of like, man, I want to see more of my church get to know Jesus, follow him, and really be doing the day to day things that every Christian is called to do, really. I don't know if that answers your question, Darren, but
that's beautiful. And it's like, I think we've experienced a little bit this summer of the power of collaboration and like what the secular world would call synergy, you know, or just like the group interaction of just recognizing, like, that expression, I don't think is a Christian expression, right? The genius isn't in the room. You know, it's not you. It's not, the genius is the room. And so I think we felt that. It's been really cool with just, I mean, a little group, five or six pastors meeting together. But just like the individual stories of what's happening in each church, what's happening in each of those families, has just created a beautiful convergence of learning from each other and cross-pollinating. And two of the guys I mean, most of our group happens to be Presbyterian. It's just a funny thing about our part of town. But two of those Presbyterian guys are in major church renovations, learning from this model in Brazil of cell church. That's very evangelistic cell church model. So that's just been fascinating as they're learning and sharing. And then Austin's kind of coaching and training us. And my church is now 3 years into kind of a discipleship renovation. And Charlie's really still very, very new to his church, just figuring out who they are and what they're going after. So it's just been a beautiful part of that conversation as we learn from each other. So Len and David, kind of tie this part together in terms of minister connection with that learning component, and give us a little preview. Dave Spiker is going to get on in a minute and talk about Align and Unite. So give us a little preview of that, but segue us from minister connection and the training component, the big picture, you know, vision, that movement part, and then set up Spiker.
Just to pull together, yeah, what you're saying with what we've been saying. I mean, John 17:21 is exactly what I'm hearing. When you're bringing these pastors from different areas and they're coming together, God, Jesus promises that there is something released when he will be lifted up. There's people that do not know Christ are going to be drawn in when the oneness is seen. I mean, it's really about that oneness that takes place. And it obviously starts with the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more beautiful and one than that. But the goal is that we would be one like that. And I think the power happens in the discipleship when we do that. And that teaching component, the discipleship piece, the care, all of that is really the body in regards to that.
Well, I think the model we see is in the beginning when God established a family. So we should make disciples just like we make disciples of our children. You know, there's something that the father and a spiritual mother bring to the table. They're going to bring their gifts, their calling, their anointing, their blessing. So the spiritual fathers are more than mentors, though they are mentors. They are coaches. They're going to help hone in on a skill, but they're more than coaches. They're counselors, right? They're going to help bring healing, restoration to you, help you deal with relational problems or issues, but they're more than counselors. So I think that the way we need to make disciples is as fathers and as mothers. I think Jesus definitely was very involved emotionally and commitment-wise to the disciples. He said, I call you friends. I call you brothers. Because if you were slaves, you wouldn't know what the father's business is, but you do know because you're brothers and I call you friends. So I think that Austin, what you're saying is exactly right. We don't make disciples by preaching at them or in a classroom of rows and we're teaching at them. We're part information, but Paul said, I become your father, imitate me. We only imitate if we're close to that person, if we're spending time with them. So I've led several small groups from my church, Men Who Want More, which were pre-salvation men who just got saved and men who were growing, and just spent time with them. We would go do things together, let them watch me. Then I had another small group where I had families, married couples with children. So they got to watch how I loved my wife, honored her. They got to watch my children. So much of what they learned was by gleaning, we would have it in my home. So Austin, you've got it. I think we've tried to make discipleship something that happens on Sunday night at 6 o'clock if you're Baptist in church training. And that's not where you make disciples. You make disciples the way Jesus did. And that is by then imitating you. And that Paul got that, even though he didn't have the opportunity to be a direct disciple of Jesus. He understood that it's about imitation. It's about being close to those that you're influencing.
Well, give us a quick introduction of David Spiker. I know he's active with you guys in that minister's connection, and then he's going to share a little of the story of Align and Unite, but you guys just kind of set that up with an intro of David.
I'd love to introduce David Spiker. Is one of my dearest friends. I had the privilege of being on staff with him for a number of years. He actually planted me. So Seaglass Church, the church that I get the shepherd and pastor, we're a part of the downline. He really is, in regard to that whole fivefold, he's an apostolic teacher. He just has this incredible view of kingdom and incredible man of God who loves the Lord. And just, I watch the kingdom grow because of his life and his ministry. So I don't know if you want to jump in. You're related to him now, so
yeah. Davis Spiker is brilliant. I think he has like 10 degrees.
He does.
he's been a counselor. He's been leading this Align and Unite. He's had a vision for it for several years, but he really hasn't had a platform. So now that David's come a part of Tampa Bay for Christ and Ministers Connection, now there's a platform. And so the dream is really coming alive and coming true because he was willing to say, hey, let's do this together, because it was very difficult for him to do it alone with just his church, South Bay. But together, Align and Unite is really coming alive. So I'm excited about it. We went last year. It was great. Our whole staff, everybody, all of our pastors and our staff attended last year.
Looking forward to doing it again this year.
Yeah, October 2nd and 3rd, 2023 at South Bay Church in Riverview.
That's great. Austin, do you have something else to add as we wrap up here?
I'm not muted. Sorry, I thought I was muted. Man, no, this is it's just a beautiful thing. And I think maybe just one other thing about the minister's connection is I think that's what's the beauty of it is like there's not really an agenda there. It's like, hey, let's come together. Let's encourage each other. Let's love each other. Let's see what's going on in each other's lives as leaders in Tampa Bay. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. And it's a beautiful thing. And happy to be a part. So thankful for being a part. That's where I met Darren. I mean, that's, it's a beautiful thing. So appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Good to hear the whole story. Lee Wood was coming fairly regularly to mine and brought a friend. That's always our, hey guys, come on, bring a friend. So that's great. So Len, why don't you wrap up this with an invitation and exhortation? Let's say there's a pastor who's listening and they're why would I show up? Why would I go to a meeting like this? Give that kind of that invitation. Why should they come to a pastor meeting?
Well, if you read the book of Revelation, you're going to see that Jesus addressed the church of the city. So first of all, each of our churches is just a fellowship within the one church. So we are stronger together. When Jesus is going to write a letter, he's going to write it to the church of Tampa Bay. If you're building your church stronger and the church of Tampa Bay is getting weaker, then the church of Tampa Bay is not getting stronger. So that would be just for the vision aspect. But for you personally, it's a place for you to go to be around other pastors who can understand you, pray for you, encourage you. But also, there are several spiritual fathers there at Ministers Connection, not just myself, David Oates, David Spiker. Actually, there's 10. We have 5 prayer groups. Each of them are led by spiritual fathers who want nothing of you. They just want to invest in you, care for you, encourage you, pray for you, protect you, right? Spiritual warfare, whatever you're going through. So whether you're coming, your church is strong, it's vibrant, and it's healthy, and you want to just bring to the table what God is doing, or you're coming because, wow, I'm hurting. I'm one of those unhealthy pastors who now are leading an unhealthy church. Unfortunately, what happens is some of you were healthy pastors until you went to an unhealthy church, and then you became unhealthy. That happens too, where they beat up on you, and they wound you, and they hurt you. So we have a lot. I've had a lot of restoration through pastors who were wounded by unhealthy churches. So there's a place for wherever you are in the spectrum. So just come join us, Ministers Connection. We meet, like I said, 7 different places around the Tampa Bay area.
That's great. I love that. You guys have multiple like professional counselors that are a part of your thing, right? You got marriage counselors, you got guys. So they got professionals. What we have at mine is some really amazing shrimp salad. That's what we are. It's our distinctive.
I've been there.
It's pretty special. It shows the Lord's uniqueness. Each gathering is different. And the Lord just gave me a guy who spent a career in food service. So, all of our food is provided by Tom. He's just a generous guy with the gift of hospitality who loves the service with amazing shrimp salad. I mean, these are like industrial sized shrimp. It's incredible.
Man,
but anyway, well, thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate the time. Appreciate your hearts and just so blessed to be in this together. Yeah. I love how you said it, Len, in the Church of Tampa Bay. So very good. Yeah. We'll move on with David Spiker and God bless you guys. Thank you. All right, David Spiker joining us now. So thanks for jumping on the call here, David. So tell us a little bit of your backstory, your background. Just tell us about who you are.
Well, I'll start back with my real call to ministry, which was actually when I was active duty Air Force back in late 80s, good grief. And I can remember being stationed up at Whiteman Air Force Base, Missouri. I was working on nuclear weapons up there, and I visited a church. The church asked me to be their pastor. I'd never had any pastor experience before. I don't know why. I was just doing some supply preaching, and it the Lord has just had his hand on ministry since that time. I was 21 at the time, so I've been in ministry 37 years, 38 years, and I love it. I've been
in giving some
this
things away there, David. You're making the math a little easy, sorry. But that.
Yeah, I know. I'm old, but I feel like an 18-year-old. I tell my staff I feel like I'm still in middle school with some of my immaturity, but you know what? That's okay. That's all right. I have a wife, and she tries to keep me in line. I've been in the Tampa Bay area for probably since 1995. I'm a licensed professional counselor and have worked with clients and organizations for almost 25, 30 years. So I just love what I do. I love shepherding people. I love helping people. I love seeing the body of Christ unified. That's a huge thing to me too.
That's great. And you're married, kids. Tell us about your family.
I'm married, been married 30 years to my wife, Karen. We have three daughters. They're all married. One lives up in New Hampshire. None of my family or his family's from New Hampshire. So it's interesting that they chose that, but they wanted the snow. They're young. They wanted the snow. They wanted the four seasons. So I'm getting introduced to New Hampshire and Vermont and Maine and those kinds of things, which is, it's quite beautiful. I have a daughter that lives in Valrico, Pastor Len Harper. His youngest son, Josh, and my youngest daughter, Sierra, fell in love in high school. And so they got married in their early 20s. And so Pastor Len Harper and myself are family, and we just love that. We just, you know, every time we get together, we're giggling to some degree about the fact that our kids got together and we now get to be family. So I have a daughter that lives in Valrico with her husband. And then I have a daughter that moved from Delaware down to Florida so that our grandkids, I have a 2.5-year-old and a 3-month-old, so that they could be raised around the grandparents. And my wife, Karen, and I are absolutely thrilled. They're staying with us until they buy a house. We encourage them to just take their time and shop around because the market's pretty rough right now. So we're just really at a wonderful, wonderful place in ministry, in Karen's marketplace ministry, and in our family relationships. We are just blessed.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's some of what Len and David were just sharing with us, is those connections that you guys have. And Oates was saying he worked with you for several years, and you were, you know, really instrumental in launching out Seaglass and stuff. So we know that's part of the background and backstory to Ministers Connection and all these, you know, like literal just relational connections among you pastors down there in the Brandon Apollo Beach area. And so I've gotten some of the overflow of that affection, and it's just sweet to be around. That's great. Well, so tell us a little of the story of Align and Unite. Where did that idea come from? How long you've been doing that? What's the heart behind it and the vision for that little conference? I got a little taste of it last year, but yeah, show the story.
I would love to tell about that. About 10, 12 years ago, and it was kind of a like the old day revivals where you'd have meetings in the evening time. And I tried that. That didn't work. I tried just focusing on my staff. That didn't work. I tried just bringing the congregation in and a few pastor friends. That didn't work. But the heart of it is Align and Unite. Align is align with the Word of God. Unite is unite the body of Christ. So it's really just that. And throughout the years, my years of ministry, I've developed relationships with men of God who just have unique, powerful messages, you know, for the body. And I'd always dreamed of a way to draw them together and just let people sit and soak for a little period of time, but make it relevant. Don't make it agenda based, but just bless people with good truth from God's word, and let's build relationship at the same time. So, yeah. Well, align and unite really is aligning with the word of God and uniting as the body of Christ. I've always had a passion to bring deep and abiding relationship into our study and knowledge of the word. And I don't believe I've cornered the market on anything. So I just love learning from other men who've studied specific portions of the Bible. And Tampa Bay has so many amazing teachers and scholars and individuals who have studied in one specific, you know, venue. And so just bringing people together to speak from their gifting, from their anointing, from their studies. I just find that so incredibly exciting. So that's what we're doing. In October, the 2nd and 3rd, from 8 till about 3, I've asked specific people in the region who really have shown an excellence and a passion for certain areas to come together and just equip us. And what I love about it too is it's really germane to this region. We're not trying to speak anything over the nation, over the state. It's God, what are you doing in this region? How can we equip each other? How can where my areas of weakness come to bear? Who has a strength in that area that can help me? So, like, you know, we're going to be looking at evangelism and discipleship as one of the breakout topics. And that is not a strong area for me. Evangelism is not. So, you know, I need others who really, really have a passion for that to help me develop processes and systems. And I just think it's amazing that we can all grow together. And whether you're a pastor, staff pastor, a volunteer, we can all grow together in those areas. We're going to be taking a look at one of the things as a professional counselor and as a pastor for other pastors. Pastors learning how to rest, you know, church leaders resting and taking care of their bodies, their souls, and their spirits. Because so often we're giving and giving and giving. We don't recognize that we need rest until we're laying in a hospital bed, you know. So developing rhythms of rest and not feeling guilty about that and learning how to teach a congregation or an elder body or deacon board or whatever it is that you have as authority. Learning how to communicate that, hey, you know, I really want to set an example as to how to take care of ourselves so that our work is sustainable. That's another breakout group. And, you know, what is a fivefold church? You know, that term has got about a billion different definitions and how it's expressed in the church. And even if you did adopt that, how do you become a fivefold church? What does that look like? What systems need to be put in place? And how is that biblical? And so we want to take some very basic grassroots understandings of what it means to be fivefold and just begin to dialogue with that. What I love, and that's three, we've got other groups and some main teachings. It's all germane to what we're doing in the Tampa Bay region. So what I love about it, you know, the participants are going to get a booklet and it's going to have information so that it's not just somebody speaking and, you know, maybe we'll have that topic next year. No, our hope is that whatever you're weak in or whatever you're strong in and you want to go further, we want to build a network of knowledge and practicality. So that throughout the year, you can grow, not just once a year, sit down and let's learn something new. It's so that the base, the foundation of becoming mature in Christ and knowing that is something that we can all work on together moving forward at the same time.
That's beautiful. And so for a guy like me, if there's other pastors that are listening to this and they're like, okay, who is this for? Your thought would be, hey, Darren, bring your part-time staff members, bring some key leaders. I mean, whoever's available on a Monday, Tuesday in October, right? But that's the idea.
Absolutely. So, you know, some churches have staffs, paid staffs, and I would say bring your staff. For pastors who are the guy, you're the worship leader, you're the song leader, you're the lawn care guy, you're the phone answerer. God bless you. We definitely want you there because we want to wrap our arms around you because that is a huge, daunting task. Bring you and bring the people you rely upon. Some of your high level leaders. So whether you're paid or volunteer, that doesn't matter. This really has to do with the functionality. We are only making room for 100 people because we want this to be personal. So and it's $50, and that's simply for the food. We're going to feed you, and we're going to put a booklet in your hand. That's all the $50 is going to. Nobody's making a dime off of this. We don't want to make a dime. We really want to release, not profit from this. So I would just suggest sign up fairly soon. And the website, Align and Unite, you can look that up in the Riverview area. You can go to South Bay Church and look for it there too. We're going to have more information on registering. That will be coming out in the next week. So you can contact me at david@southbay.church if you'd like to, or pam@southbay.church, and ask us any questions that you would like. Pam's really going to be the organizer of this. So whatever questions, if the $50, if your ministry cannot afford the $50, we will scholarship you because we really want you there. So, but most ministries in the region, I think between now and October the 2nd, you could probably save. But if that's not a possibility, don't let that be something that stops you from being with us.
Well, let me ask you one more question. I think you're a good guy to address this topic. And my understanding is you've lived on both sides of the charismatic and conservative spectrum. And you're with us in this Tampa Bay for Christ adventure, and you see the spectrum that we have as we gather for our prayer summit and events like To Gather. And part of what we're trying to do is unite the Church of Tampa Bay in all of its colors. So speak to that a little bit as we talk about and wrap up this topic of leader health and unity. Part of that unity and part of that coming together for events like this, Align and Unite, for Ministers Connection, for prayer events, is coming together to say there's a value to someone who believes and practices a little differently from me. So yeah, so speak to that a little bit. Coach, like maybe the young charismatic or the young conservative, to say, why do they need a network that may be outside of their denomination or outside of their standard experience so far?
That's super easy to answer, because we're in Tampa together. That's why. We serve Jesus. That's why we together serve Jesus. So, there's guys who have buildings that I think, man, that's weird. You know, there's guys that have, you know, different types of teachings and you know, so I think we can get along. We can accomplish the vision of Jesus. And just as there is no two people on earth that are the same, that's not an accident. You know, God loves diversity of people. So he releases graces, you know, in the various denominations. He releases graces in the various styles, even within denominations. So I would say those individuals that are hesitant about the fivefold, nobody at this conference, and I'm leading the conference, right? Nobody is going to be shamed. Nobody's going to be told they're not doing it right. Everybody is accepted, and everybody is respected and valued for the way that Christ has called them to lead their ministry. So there will be no message of exclusivity. There will be messages of inclusivity. We are working together in Tampa, and it's no accident that we're all here together. So let's work together.
Well, and we can brag a little bit about Len Harper, since he's not on the call at this moment anymore, but yeah, what a coach and a father he is for young guys like Gio and Caleb, who are running this now like internationally recognized worship gathering called To Gather. And yet they're coming to a guy like Len to say, coach us and help us see what we don't yet understand. And they've been so humble and accessible to some of us older guys who are like, we love your passion. We love your energy. We want to support you in this. We want to help platform this event, but there's things you need to understand about, in a sense, the other side of this conversation. And we need our conservative Southern Baptists, right, and Presbyterian brothers. We need to realize we're all a part of one family, And there's just, there's things we need to do to live together in an understanding way. And I just love, I love the heart of Len and your heart, David, too, to just, to be a coach and a father and a support and a guide, you know, cause there's, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And
yeah, let me say this, South Bay Church is a Southern Baptist church. I am a proud Southern Baptist pastor. I grew up fundamental independent and later moved into the Southern Baptist. I've been one for 30 years and I love it. And, you know, South Bay Church is a church filled with the Holy Spirit. And I unapologetically say that it's exciting. It's beautiful. And I said, Lord, do you desire that South Bay Church would stay a Southern Baptist church? And here's what he said. He said, I could have made South Bay Church anything that I wanted. Do not forsake the heritage of this house. I understand denominations, and some people feel strongly about this way or that way, but ultimately, all denominations really started with men attempting to maintain the integrity of God's word and the integrity of what they feel like God gave them. I want to respect that. And so we just don't throw things like that away. So I welcome men who just have a deep desire to be filled with character, filled with integrity, and where God has you, he has you. And I respect that.
Beautiful. Why don't you wrap up this episode? Pray for our unity and oneness, for the health of leaders and coming together in Tampa Bay.
Lord, thank you for the men and the women in this region who love you, who called into this region to serve. Lord, as we continue to fulfill John 17, we just ask that you would bring us together in unity. I thank you for the unity that I have with David Oates and Len Harper and so many other amazing men of God and women too, God, as you have put them in strategic places of leadership. So we're asking, God, that you would raise up men who will take it so much further than we could. God, we long to just pour into others what you've given to us and to see sustainability and success for the kingdom in the Tampa Bay region. Thank you, Lord, for the resources, for the love. God, thank you for the integrity. Thank you so much for all who have been here, but also for those who are coming into this region. God, we just lift it up to you and say, God, if we can do it better, please show us how. Please teach us. We are humble. We're gentle of spirit. We just want to learn. We want to follow your lead. And if we're off course, direct us. But we just lock arms together with our brothers and sisters all across the region. And we just say, Lord Jesus, lead us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate your heart. Appreciate your sharing. I will see you around very soon.